Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramid and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them in. Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Cut that intro song short. Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, April the 17th, tax day, so they say. Monday, April the 17th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we got another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So I got the thumbs up from the wife so that the sound is okay today. So we can go ahead and rock and roll. We're going to get started today. Today, my brothers and sisters, got a very important topic for you. Something that I've learned the hard way is how to operate or vibrate, if you will, at a high level or optimal level. You know, things come into our life to get us off track. And we order those things, but we don't know how we order them. So we are designed by the universe to operate at a high level. But many of us do not. Well, let me speak for myself. I know I do not. So I have a desire to operate at a high level. Now, when I say operate at a high level or operate at peak performance, it is my desire for myself to be self-sufficient. Now, when I say self-sufficient, that means wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship. That means I should be a single standing column of waveform energy. That should mean that I should be able to stand on my own 2 feet. That means that I should be able to not only take care of myself, I should be able to take care of my family, I should be able to take care of my surrounding friends. I should be able to be a light that sits on a hill. I should be like a lighthouse. I should be a wealth of knowledge. I should leave an inheritance for my children's children. That's what I mean by peak performance. So peak performance is this ability to actually oscillate or vibrate on a level that allows us to express, expose, and expand our God-given giftedness. So there are 3 keys I want to leave with you today that I try to focus on as a peak performance life coach. So I have a lot of different ways by which I spin my essence or my benefit, not my feature. So my experience allows me to be of a benefit to you. So the way that I can benefit you is to take my life experiences and express them to you to assist you with using your life experience, because you plus your product along with marketing allows you to be successful or to operate at a high level. So there are 3 keys. Number 1, forget the reality and focus on the mentality. Number 2, You have to maintain a rookie mindset with a veteran heart. Number three, you have to have desperation plus inspiration, or you must have desperate, inspired learning modality. Now, let's break these three things down specifically and succinctly so that way you can understand what I am expressing, exposing, and expanding to you today. Today, brothers and sisters, it's very important that you understand that I don't want to no longer be a liability to my family, to my wife, to my children. I don't want to be, and I don't want to have a entitlement-based mentality. I don't want to have this ideal that the world owes me something. I don't want to have this expectation spirit. One of the issues that I have with myself, I cannot speak about anybody else, but I've carried myself in a way that I was expecting others to do for me, the things that I should be doing for myself. I carried myself like I was entitled to 40 acres and a mule. I had a slave mentality. I've suffered from the psychological effects of the Willie Lynch syndrome. I was strong in body but weak in mind. So I walked around and I carried myself because I had a bad childhood. I had a rough upbringing that I expected. I walked into the room and I expected people to bow down and kiss my ring finger because I had a bad upbringing. So I had two issues that prevented me from being self-sufficient or operating at my peak. Those two issues was I had a spirit or I had a mentality that said I'm entitled to something that I didn't. Then I had a spirit that said that I walked into the room and I expected you to give me homage. I had two issues, and many people have these same two issues that prohibit you from being and operating at a peak level. You carry yourself with a sense of entitlement. Now, this entitlement spirit is the kiss of death, because what it does is you walk into a space and you automatically expect to go to the top with no effort, with no work. You assume. Now, this spirit of entitlement is one of the most dangerous spirits, because what it does is it takes you to number two, which is, now we're not even talking about all of the other issues that you have or that I had, which was I had a core imprint that said I deserve to be happy. Now, on top of that core imprint that says I don't deserve to be happy was these two dispositions that said, hey, Brother Will, you are entitled, brother, to be a part of leadership. You could go into any organization. You ain't got to pay your dues. Brother, you already paid your dues. So therefore, you deserve to be in leadership. Go right to the top, brother. So I walked into every organization. I come into a marriage. I came into my relationship. Everything that I've been doing, I walk in like, hey, do y'all know who I am? Obviously, you don't. So let me explain. You know, some bad shizness happened to me when I was a kid. Therefore, I wore my childhood as like a badge of courage. It was like the scarlet letter. Y'all remember that story about Esther Prynne? And they made her, she was an adulteress, so they put that A on her chest so everybody would know. That's how I've been living my life. I've been living my life like Esther Prynne. I've been walking around with this scarlet E. I had a big E on my chest that stands for entitlement. I'm in freaking entitled. You don't understand. Pay me, man. But you ain't done no work. I don't care. You don't understand, man. I deserve to get paid because I had an entitlement spirit. And then I had this expectation. I expect you to treat me like royalty. And I ain't done nothing. I come to work late. And when I get there, I don't do shiznits. And I leave early. I walk around, talk, sleep on the job. But I expected to get a raise. What? Now, I need you to really understand that you cannot operate at a high level if you got this spirit of entitlement and you got this air of expectancy. It's called unrealistic expectations and misplaced dependencies. You guys know I've been talking about this for 20 years, and I still, every day I wake up, I have to apologize to my wife this morning because I still walk around every day. I battle the same demon. Every day he shows up and say, hey, Brother Will, can we come in today, bro? You know, you are entitled, brother. You are entitled to your 40 acres in the mule. And if I listen to that demon, I start to, do you know that ease is the kiss of death, not struggle or difficulty? In other words, the fact that my life is easy is the only reason that I'm not more successful. The fact that it's easy because I carry myself with a spirit of expectancy. So my wife and my children, everybody around me got to walk around on eggshells, and they got to coddle to me. They got to baby me. They got to love on me. They got to give, oh, you know, we don't want to piss him off, you know, because, you know, he's on edge already. He had a bad childhood. You know, let's stroke his ego. Hell no. That prevents me ease. Having an easy life is the kiss of death. When I was having a hard life, I was way more successful than I am. I was able to operate at a peak level because I got rid of those two demons. Spirit of entitlement. I got my black ass up and went to work. And then I didn't expect nobody to do nothing for me. I did it for myself. Now, all of a sudden, I got to this place in my life where I don't want to work. I got this spirit of entitlement. Like, I already paid my dues, so I ain't got to work hard no more. What? Where do they do that at? And then I walk around like I just show up, you know. I just go to church, and I just expect the pastor to give me the mic. Like, I'm the pastor. Negro, you ain't even a freaking member. How in the hell are you going to walk in somewhere and expect somebody to give you something? That disposition, that spirit will prevent you from being successful and operating at a high level. Now, you may have a couple of nickels to rub together. You may have somebody who don't know no better walk around kissing your butt. But you're not going to operate on a high level, brother. You're not going to operate on a high level, sister. You're not going to have peak performance. So let's break these down because, again, what is the problem? We just talked about it. Well, the first problem for me is I had that core imprint. I finally got rid of that core imprint. They said, Negro, you don't deserve nothing. So I got rid of that. Now I know I deserve to be self-sufficient for myself, nobody else. So I'm not expecting, these three problems. Number one, you got a core imprint that says you don't deserve it. Because you don't got no self-worth. The reason that you don't got no self-worth because nobody validated you as a child. Nobody looked you in the eye and said, guess what? God loves you just as you are. You ain't got to do shiznits. Just do this. Just breathe. That means you're worthy. See, nobody told me that. So I got to tell myself. Every day I wake up, I tell myself, I look myself in the eye and say, I ain't got to do nothing. The fact that I'm alive means that I am chosen, that I have been called, I have been justified, I have been sanctified, I have been glorified. I don't care if nobody don't like it. I don't care if you don't think I deserve to be where I'm at and what I got. God thinks highly of me. Therefore, I think highly of myself, number one. Then I realize that I'm not entitled to nothing. I got to go work for it. If I don't get up and if I don't do shows, if I don't write books, ain't nobody going to just come and just freaking make donations on my website just because my name is Master Teacher 33. What benefit? If this show doesn't provide no benefits to you, you shouldn't listen. I'm not entitled to have, you know, a bunch of people listening to me just because of the fact that I posted something on Facebook and did a blog talk show. No, if I don't add worth and value to your life, you should disconnect. I'm not entitled to nothing. I got to work for it. And I got to get rid of this unrealistic expectation. just because I post it and it does have some worth and value, that doesn't automatically mean that everybody's going to bow down and kiss my ring finger. So once I get past these three dispositions, the feeling of not being worthy, the feeling that, hey, I don't deserve to be happy. No, I am worthy. I do deserve to be happy. In fact, I am happy. I am worthy, not because of something that I've done, but because of something that my Father has done. And I've gotten rid of this entitlement spirit. Now I realize that I'm only entitled for my efforts. My rewards in life equals my service to others. The more effort I put in, the more rewards I get back. That's my expectation now. Now I'm not expecting nothing. I'm not expecting something for nothing. I'm not expecting people to just to give me something just because of the fact that I'm a short black man and I had it rough. No, Negro. Everybody else had it rough too. Get your butt up and go to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. So I've gotten rid of those three dispositions. So now I got to replace those three life-destroying habits, those three negative habit patterns. Now I'm going to replace them with three life-sustaining patterns. Number one, the number one life-sustaining pattern for you to operate at a peak performance, forget about your reality, focus on your mentality. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the most profound statement that I can ever make. This totally, today, this transformed my life. Right now, every day I wake up, I do this. Every day I look at my life, reality. Reality is slapping me upside the head. Reality punched me in the gut this morning. Reality, man, slapped the dog shizness out of me today. But I don't care about my reality because all I'm focusing on is my mentality. If you can do that, I guarantee you, if you can do that, the word of God, let me rephrase that. I can't make no guarantees. But God, the big G, the big chief, the universe, the architect of the entire uni, one verse song, the entire universe is built upon this. God guarantees that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The universe didn't say nothing about your reality. The universe talks about your mentality. The universe says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if I want my hope to turn into concrete material stuff, I need to have faith. Faith, again, says that I'm acting like I got shizness, I don't. What? Hold up, time out. Time out, brother. Time out. Now, I need you to understand this. Everybody, see, your reality screams louder. You know that old saying that the squeaky wheel gets the oil? That is very true. So if your wheel is squeaking, and now, how does a wheel squeak? It usually comes in a form of pain or adversity. So if you focus on that pain or that adversity or that problem instead of that solution, you get more pain because as a man thinks. So if I'm focusing on my reality is screaming. So I can't pay attention to my thoughts. That's the problem. Everybody, listen to the sound of my voice. If you can do this for one day. If you can do this for one day, if you can override your reality with your mentality, if your reality says, if you go to the bank and you said, you log online and you check your bank account and the bank account says zero. But if in your mind you could have a mental image and if you could have internal dialogue and if you can add intensity, if you can do those three things today, that thought. Now, based upon science, the imagination plus visualization overrides reality. Now, I need you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about no new age mumbo jumbo. I'm talking about universal spiritual law. Jesus walked in. Lazarus was dead. Mary and Martha said, yo, homie, you late. They was angry at him. They said, you spent all that time healing all them other fools and your own family died and you on those slumber up in here freaking 3 days late? He stinks. What the hell are you going to do now? The first thing Jesus said was, y'all need to get up out of here. Why? They were toxic people. I've already did that show about hanging out with toxic people. They ain't got no damn beliefs. They ain't got no nowhere. They ain't got no knowing. So the first thing Yahushua says is, get up out of here. Y'all got to go. And then Yahushua said something because he was thinking something. Now, I need to make sure that you understand, reality said Lazarus was dead. But in Jesus' mind, Jesus' thought said he was alive. So I need you to see, right now, the reality says that your finances is dead. Right now, reality says that your health is dead. Right now, reality says that your wisdom is dead. Right now, reality says that your marriage is dead, that your relationship is dead. But I need you to do something, brother. I need you to do something, sister, if you can. I need you to maintain a mental disposition that says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the reality is the world, but what's in you, brother? What's in you, sister? Can you maintain a mental disposition that said, I don't give a flying what the reality says? In my head, I'm telling myself that I am wealthy and that I am healthy, that I am wise and that I am in a great relationship. My inner dialogue, brother, my inner dialogue, sister, is saying something. My mind chatter, that talk, I'm building up myself with my most holy faith. I am calling those things that are not as though they were. When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I don't fear no evil, for doubt art with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is well. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. My brother and my sister, if the lilies of the field, they don't sow nor reap, and your heavenly Father takes care of them, how much more will he take care of you if you ask? So I'm begging you, I'm pleading you, because it's working for me, and I know it'll work for you, because God, the one that I serve, I don't know about the one that you serve, but the one that I serve, he ain't a respecter of persons. He says that that the sun shines, the rain rains on the just and the unjust. That's the one I serve. See, the one that most folks serve, see, he's a tic-tac God. He's a God that says, hey, if you do for me, I do for you. See, I don't serve that God. The one that I serve says, I don't give a flying what you do or don't do. I'm in control. I'm in charge. I'm God. See, the God that I serve operated on a higher law. See, Yahushua came to fulfill the law. He says in the Old Testament, it says that if you sleep with another woman, you've committed adultery. Yahushua says, no, if you think about sleeping with another woman, your ass has already committed the act. Now, I need you to understand what Yahushua, this is a higher law. Now, see, I operate on that law. I operate on the law of mentality. See, everybody else is looking at what I do, and Jesus is looking at what I'm thinking. See, man looks on the outward appearance, brother. But God looks on the heart. So I'm going to ask you to be like God. See, that's what I'm, that's the vibration level I'm on, brother. I'm on a level that says everybody else is looking at, hey, look what Brother Will is doing. But God is saying, look at what my brother is thinking. So can you, now the Bible says that his thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like ours. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. So Yahushua came and he elevated the thought level. So while everybody else is looking at your behavior, reality, God is looking at your mentality, your thoughts. So all I'm telling you, if you can think wealth, if you can think health, if you can think wisdom, and if you can think great relationships, guess what's going to happen? If you can maintain that thought, that thought, and then if you can sprinkle in some images, if you can sprinkle in some pixels, because see, the Bible says make no graven image. See, God understands the power of graven image. That's why it says, hey, make no graven image. He talks about idolatry. See, the word idolatry is idol. I try. It means, now take the word idolatra, turn it around. It's tra, try, a, idol. Now, what if that idol is purpose? See, all I did was reverse engineer Luciferian stuff. That's what God said. Now, let me make sure you understand what I mean. See, the stuff works in the world. So the devil said, I'm going to take what God meant for good, and I'm going to reverse engineer it for evil. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it says that the shadow people, they take the truth and they turn it upside down and they put it in reverse. So what if you turn it right back up and then reverse engineer? So if you reverse engineer darkness, you get light. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology, but I just watched this old movie called Warcraft last night. And in that movie, that's what they was talking about. The whole movie was talking about, the wizard in that movie talked about, from light I get darkness, from darkness I get light. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it says that I am the Lord. God. I do all things. I create the darkness and I create the light. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology, but let me make sure you understand how the universe works. I am not trying to preach. I'm actually trying to teach. But preaching and teaching, they kind of go hand in hand. So let me make sure you understand. Number one, for peak performance, now we've already talked about the three dispositions. So number one, forget about your reality. Focus on your mentality. Now, it's going to be, it's almost impossible. Almost. That's why Yahushua said that I'm the firstborn of many brothers. Jesus said, do these things that I have done. What did Jesus do? Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Now, I have to, number one, is very important for peak performance. Because remember, when you're operating at your peak, that means that what you are doing is you are transmuting your reality. So peak performers, all of them, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, freaking Venus and Serena's, Arnold Schwarzenegger, all of the peak performers who are able to get all, everything, every ounce out of every performance before they hit the ring. Let's talk Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson said that he won every fight before he ever got in the ring because he won it in his head first before he got in the ring and carried it out second. So I am asking you that if you want to be a peak performer, you got to win it in your head first before you can see it in your life second. So it starts with your inner dialogue, your inner talking. So if you don't have the talk, now you can't fake it. Either that talk is there or it's not. Now, how do you put the inner dialogue? Now, this is how I do it. I don't know how anybody else do it. I can only talk from experience from what I've done. So reality says one thing. So every time I want to change my reality, I change my mentality. And I change my mentality because I focus on the solution more than I focus on the problem. The problem is screaming. We don't got no money. We ain't got no money. We ain't got no money. But my mentality is screaming. We have creativity. We have creativity. We have creativity. So I posted on Facebook today $1. So I went through. Now, I did the other day, I did 50% off. Then the other day, I did the Clarinomics stuff. If you notice what I do on Facebook, and if you notice what I do during these shows, is I solve problems before they manifest in my life. Now, I could wait till after they manifest and then solve them, like in the case of my toothache. So I could have went to the dentist before and did some preventive maintenance and cleaning, but I didn't. So now I have a problem. So the problem is I have a tooth that aches. So I can spend all of my time talking about it and feeling it, or I could go into my brain. Now, my tooth has been, the dentist doesn't know how. I'm supposed to go the day I canceled it. I moved back the next week. So the dentist doesn't know how I can exist with the tooth being totally exposed, the nerve. Because in my brain, I can override that pain. Now, I don't recommend you, this is probably a bad example, but the example, what I'm trying to express to you today, is that forget the reality. What is the reality? Tooth is hurting. But how do I stop it from hurting? I put the solution in my brain. Okay? So what do? So every time, soon after I eat, I gargle with warm water. Why? Clean out my mouth. Every 30 minutes to an hour, I gargle with non-alcoholic mouthwash because the alcohol stings the nerve and makes the tooth hurt more. So every 30 minutes, almost round the clock, I gargle. Why? Keep the germs out of my mouth. What does that do? That prevents the tooth from hurting. Then I gargle with coconut oil. Why? Coconut oil soothes the enamel of the tooth, helps the tooth enamel to grow to help to protect and cover up the nerve. Now, I can continue to do this because my mentality is focused on the solution, not the pain. So the pain is always there, starving. My tooth is starving. Right now, my tooth is throbbing. but I don't even feel it because I'm so focused on what I'm doing right here. So, number one, to operate on peak performance, bump the problem. The problem is that you got bills. I'm so sick and I don't give a flying beep how many bills you got. How many products do you got that's creating money? How many streams of income do you got, brother? I got 50 poles in the water. One of them suckers gonna catch a fish. I got 50 fishing poles in the water. I got 50 different streams of ways to come to bring in income. Some one of them poles biting. Somebody going, I'm catching some fish today. So I'm putting fishing lines in the water. How many streams of income you got? Oh, you got a job? That's it? You mean to tell me you got one stream of income, brother? And all you got all these problems, but you only got one option by which to solve it? Come on, man. And you want to operate on your peak performance? Man, you got to get some streams. You got to put some fish and lines in the water. You need multiple streams of income. Multiple. You need a plethora. That means more than one. So number one, to operate on a peak performance, you forget the reality. Forget the problem. Focus on the mentality. Focus on the solution. Now, the solution is this. Number one, you got to have a constant stream. If you got to freaking do like I did back in the day, take a freaking tape player, record your voice for 30 minutes, put you on an hour talking about the solutions. If you can only say, I am wealthy, now hopefully you can actually got a plan as to how you're going to be wealthy. Hopefully you got a plan how you're going to be healthy. Hopefully you got a plan how you're going to be wise. Hopefully you got a plan of how you're going to have a great relationship. And then you say that and you write it down and you play it every day into your head. Now, I don't have to do that anymore. But when I started, that's where I started at. And every night I went to bed, I didn't put on no damn rap music. I wasn't watching no freaking porn. I wasn't watching. I had freaking headphones on, and I was piping my voice because my blood cells only respond to my voice. Now, if I had to put on some damn T.D. Jakes, if I would have put on from freaking Les Brown, if I would have put on from some freaking Creflo Dollar or some of that other bullshitness, it don't work. Your body only responds to your voice because your voice is the God over your body. So unless you speak, unless you call those things that are not as though they were, unless you invoke and provoke, brother, yourself, guess what happened? You're going to take your brain out and you're going to give it to the Reverend Dr. Bishop. That's cool. But it's not going to respond. So number one is you got to pipe in your own head a voice. It's called a VOX or the vocare in the Greek, which is gives that is the definition of the English word God. Now, I've been saying this for 25 years, and people don't get it. So you keep praying to a God out there, and God said that there is no more mediator between God and man. It's called the corpus callosum. Go to Google, type it in. And then it's also called laminin. Go to Google, type it in. I have it inside of my book called Christendom. So while you're looking for God on the cross out there, he's inside of your freaking brain waiting on you. But that's okay. Because in order for you to operate on Yahushua's level, that's peak performance. Now, you can operate on, like they told Jesus, hey, we got a father. We are of Moses. And Jesus said, I've come. Jesus said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. All. Moses, Joshua, David, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. That's what Jesus said. See, Jesus was a radical. He was an outlaw. He came and he freaking elevated the game from a physicality to a mentality. So now, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number one, you control your reality with your mentality. But see, your reality is controlling your mentality. Your reality problems is controlling your mentality, thoughts. And your thoughts should be controlling your reality. So what we got to do is focus on our thinking. I guarantee you, the word of God guarantees you, number one, works. Focus on your thoughts because your thoughts become things. Number two, this is a big one. You have to maintain a rookie mindset with a veteran heart. Please write that down. Let me say that again. You have to have a rookie. You got to have an inexperienced brain. And you got to have an experienced heart. Let me say that again. Let me make sure you understand. Number one, Well, this is number two, but number one of number two. Rookie mindset. What do I mean? When you're a rookie, when you don't know shizness, you brand new. You just got hired. You don't know nothing about the job. You just got on the team. I remember when I was playing football, and I was a sophomore in the 10th grade, and I was on varsity playing against the 12th grade. I was a rookie. And all of the seniors was like, this dude is in the 10th grade. I'm in the 12th grade. I remember when I went trying out back then it was called the Houston Oilers, now they're Tennessee Titans. I remember they had an open tryout, and all of the veterans was cocky. They was arrogant. Them suckers weren't hungry. And I remember walking on the field, brother, as a rookie, everything the coach said, I was all ears. Couldn't tell me. I remember the first day of boot camp, I was scared to death. I pulled up into the barracks in San Diego, California. The drill instructor came in there. Get out of the barracks. They started yelling and screaming. I had my All-State jacket on, all my patches and stuff. And we got off the bus, and the drill instructor walked over there and looked at, oh, boy. And I thought I was bad. I thought I was All-State. You didn't understand, bro. Freaking on varsity since I was a sophomore in high school. I was a little dude, but I was smoking big dudes. And I got to boot camp. And the drill instructor said, boy, take that damn jacket off. He took the jacket off. He spit on it, and he freaking stepped on it. And he said, that all that crap you did in high school, it don't mean shiznits here, boy. That's when I knew, oh, man, what the hell did I do? And I went from being a veteran to a rookie. And as a rookie, what do rookies do? Them suckers are green. They don't know nothing. When you are a rookie, you are open to suggestion. You will learn. You listen to everybody because you're a rookie. The veterans, they are arrogant. They cocky. They know the drill. They ain't got to come. They show up late. They walk around. They don't do nothing, man, because they've been here. They've done it. Them suckers know everything. See, a rookie mindset means that you are open and you like, God, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing. When I was in boot camp, I was praying every freaking day. I was telling my brother, if it wasn't for my brother, I wouldn't have made it. I was like, Glenn, I'm out, dog. I'm out, man. These fools are crazy. That fool took off my freaking jacket and spit on it, man. And he was like, boy, what the hell you going to go back to? Your ass been homeless since you was 13. You going to go back to Richmond and do what? And my brother brought me right back to reality because he had a veteran heart, but he had a rookie mind. See, I had a rookie heart and a rookie mind. My heart forgot that I didn't have no place to stay. The Marine Corps was my only freaking option, brother. What else was I going to do? I can go to college. I can go back and get a job working at a fast food restaurant, making $5-$6 an hour. So, thankfully, that was a veteran heart your heart has to be one of a veteran. Your heart is already a veteran heart because guess what? Inside your heart is your spirit. God never appeals to the heart. I mean, to the head. He always appeals to the heart because the heart, according to heartmath.com, heartmath.org, the heart emits 100 times, 500 times, 1,000 times, depending on who you talk to, more electricity and magnetism than the head. So the heart has to be solid because inside of the heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, not his head, so is he. So if you don't have an experienced veteran heart, you're going to make rookie mistakes. Now, if your heart is your intuition, your heart is that still small voice. Do you know that your heart is actually the brain? The brain is just a filter for what gets into the heart. Now, that's another biological study for another biological time. But let me make sure you understand, to operate on your peak performance. Now, remember, if I did not have somebody with me who had a veteran heart, my dark behind would not have got through boot camp. Because it was about 5 or 6 other occasions where I told my brother, hell no, that dude disrespect me for the last mother. I'm going to put my hands on his neck. And I'm out. My brother say, Bro, bro, come on, Mal. Number one, how you gonna get from California back to Texas? Number two, you ain't got no money. And number three, why you going back to Texas? Nobody wants you to Texas. Remember, you the black sheep of the family. Remember, everybody else got picked up. You went to an orphan home. Remember, your own daddy didn't want you. None of your grandparents want you. No aunt or uncle would let you into their house. Where you going back to, bruh? Now, I can go back, but where you going to go? Oh, damn, that's right. I had, now, my brother, he had 30 scholarships out of high school. Full ride, 30. I barely freaking graduated. So my brother was like, see, I have those options, bro. I can leave the Marine Corps. I can go to college. I can do all this other stuff. What you going to do? Work at McDonald's? Yeah, Marine Corps is your best option. See, a veteran gave me advice, and that veteran heart overrode my rookie mindset. But the rookie mindset is desperate. Which brings us to number three. Number three that you got to have to operate at a peak. Now, I'm not talking about everybody on this call. Y'all are already successful. Everybody's good. Y'all already have dealt with those three demons that we talked about in the beginning. Y'all remember those three demons? That core imprint that says, oh, man, you don't deserve to be happy. You don't deserve. Nobody loves you but Jesus. Go sit on the corner, man. Feel sorry for yourself. You know what? You entitled. You ain't got to do nothing. That entitlement spirit. You just walk in there and just expect everybody just bow down and kiss your ring finger because you're who again? What's your name again? Oh, and you've done what? Why should we listen to you? But you walking in and you expect. Remember those three demons we talked about at the beginning of the show? Yeah, you got to get rid of them suckers first. Then once you get rid of them three demons, then you can start implementing the three angels. Number one, forget about the reality. Focus on what the word of God says. God says I'm a royal priest. So you don't think I'm one? I don't give a flying beep. God said I'm a royal priest. God said I'm a holy nation. God said I'm a joint heir. God said I'm called. God said I'm sanctified. God said I'm justified. God said I'm an ambassador. That means I'm a representation. I'm his representative on earth. And you what? So I don't give up what nobody thinks. If God be for me, who can be against me? So therefore, my mentality overrides everybody else's freaking reality, including my own. That's number one. So I'm going to operate as God because I'm his representative on earth. He said, hey, here you go. Here's my signet. You are my ambassador. That means you go in my place. I don't know if y'all understand what that means. I got God's backing. So why in the hell? Why would I walk through the valley of shadow and death and fear evil? I ain't fearing nothing. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's the first thing you got to get. You got to get that in your spirit. See, right now you ain't got it. Right now, your reality is punking your mentality. Right now, your reality shows up every morning and says, sit down, boy. You ain't nothing. The hell you think you are. You and your God ain't about shizness. You say, yes, sir. I thought I was something, but, you know, you're right. I'm nothing. I don't think so. Y'all reading the wrong book. Hanging out with the wrong God. Talking to the wrong people. So that's the first mindset you got to have. You got to come into this mother like you freaking own it. You got to walk in like you the damn owner because you are. That's the first man. That's the first thing you got to do. Then number two, you want to have a newbie mind. You want to say, I don't know what the hell is going on. So, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me and guide me. You want to be newbie. You want to have, you know, you want to have that Similac on your breath. You want to have a Similac brain, brother. It's cool. So when people say to me, Doc, you don't know nothing. Absolutely. I don't know shizness, but I know who does. Let me tap it to my heart. Let me communicate with the big G. Give me 5 minutes. I'll be right back. See, my brain don't know shiznits, but my heart is connected to the big G. I've tuned in, see, me and the big G, we're on the same frequency, brother. In my heart, I know, but in my head, I don't know nothing. So when I come at you, I ain't coming at you with no damn head knowledge. I'm coming at you from the heart, brother. I'm coming at you from the heart. And we're going heart to heart. I don't want to know you by your head. I want to know you by your heart. That's why I say if we don't vibe together, homie, we can't hang out. My heart has to connect with your heart. If it doesn't, me and you can't hang out. Heart to heart. Maintain a rookie mind, meaning that you say, Lord, I submit to your will. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, so if it was good enough for Jesus, Jesus said, you know what, I don't want to do this, but not my will, not my heart, but your heart. Jesus, so if it's good enough for Jesus, hey, if it's good enough for Yahushua, if it's good enough for my older brother, it's good enough for me. Like my older brother kept my dark behind out of trouble in the boot camp, my big brother is keeping my behind out of trouble on this earth camp. And I listen with my heart, and I'm open with my head, which brings me to number three. The third thing you got to have to operate on peak performance. You got to have desperation plus inspiration-based learning. Let me make sure you understand this one. Now, remember, bump your reality, brother. Focus on your mentality. Number one, forget the reality. Who cares? That's just a freaking dream. That's a pipe dream. The devil wants you to believe the reality. It's fake. Focus on your mentality. What's your brain? What's your mind? What are your thoughts? Because thoughts are things. Control your thinking. Number two, rookie mind, veteran heart. Make sure that your heart is always connected to the vine, to the tree, to the branch. And it's going to control your head. Your heart, love and compassion, must override your head, reason and logic. All you need it. But make sure your reason and logic is a rookie. It's hungry. It's desperate and is looking for inspiration. Number three, you have to have desperation plus inspiration. Let me make sure you understand. See, everything I do is I'm desperate for inspiration. I need desperation plus inspiration. If you got one or the other, you can kiss the baby goodbye. Because if you're desperate, what happens with a person who's desperate is they are attached to the goal and not the role. See, when you get desperate, you get tunnel vision. See, desperation activates the reptile, so the reptilian brain, and so it covers up your spiritual antenna. But inspiration is the word in spiritas. That means in spirit. Come on, somebody. Come on. Let me make sure you understand. See, desperation, it means des, D-E-S, or D-E, which means basically separation. It means to be separated. When you get desperate, you actually separate yourself from the spirit. But desperation is a good thing. Kind of, sort of, a little bit. Now, what does that mean? Remember, the problem is entitlement and expectation. Now, people who have an entitlement spirit are selfish. They don't have a rookie mindset. They got a veteran mind. See, a veteran thinks he's entitled to his position because he's been on the team. But a rookie, he just got to the team. A rookie is desperate, and he's inspired to make the team because he ain't on there yet. So if you maintain that desperation, what you're doing is, again, you're maintaining your dependency on the source. Now, if it was good enough for Yahushua, it was good enough for Paul. Now, Paul said this. He said, Father, take this thorn, desperation, away from me. Take it away. He said three times in the scripture, Paul says, take this desperation away. Take this thorn away from me. Now, remember, Paul wanted to isolate a vibrant on a high level, just like you do. Yeah, like I do. I want to be self-sufficient. I don't want to be squeaking by. I don't want to live so close to the fire or to the fence that I'm teeter-tottling. I might fall over. I don't want to live so close that after I pay all my bills and do everything, I got like $10 left over. I don't want to live. In fact, I ain't living from payday to payday. I'm not doing that no more. I'm not doing the, oh, I got to borrow money. I got to rob Peter to pay Paul. Them days over. So how do we make sure that we are wealthy? Now, wealthy means I got enough money for me, my family, and my family's family. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I got to be healthy. I want to be able to walk a flight of stairs when I'm 80 years old, dog on the block, lift weights. You know, I want to be able to do anything, everything I'm doing right now, healthy. I want to be wise. I want to have a personal, private, productive relationship. So when the devil shows up and say, hey, Brother Will, here you go, homie. Here's this entitlement spirit back. I brought 7 more of my homeboys with me this time. So we're going to make sure that you are extra entitled today, brother. We got 7 more demons worse than the ones that you just got rid of yesterday. So I need you to walk around with this spirit that says, the white man owe me something. The black man, the blue man, everybody owe me, man. My wife owe me. My children owe me. In fact, it's all about me. You know, all my life, man, I've been spending all my time worrying about me. My whole life, I ain't invested in nobody but my damn self, because I'm freaking selfish. Because I think I'm entitled. I have an expectation that says, hey, you owe me, dog. So everywhere I go, I'm expecting everybody to bow down and kiss my ring finger. How about I help somebody else for a change? How about I give instead of freaking taking? And so that changed my life, brother. It made me get a sense of desperation. Now I desperately want to have more so I can give more. And now I'm inspired. So my desperation fuels my inspiration. I'm desperate, brother, to stay connected to God. Because I know every time I disconnect from God, I become a selfish, egotistical maniac. And I'm not talking about no old white dude with a beard sitting in a big chair in the sky. Not that dude. I don't serve that one. See, the God I serve is inside my heart. He's a veteran. So the veteran heart, brother, that's number 2, is God. That inner voice that I'm telling you that you need in number 1 is God. That inspiration that I'm telling you need in number 3 is God. So you got God in the number 1 spot. You got God in the number 2 spot. And you got God in the number 3 spot. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying, brother. Brother Jasper, I'm trying not to preach, brother. But unfortunately, man, the Holy Spirit is in this place. I need you to understand that every time I open my freaking mouth, it is freaking God speaking. Because I've decided, brother, to crucify this flesh. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in God. I don't have faith in my abilities. I keep my rookie mindset. And I realize that I ain't worth nothing. If it was not for the grace and mercy of God, my black ass wouldn't be here right now. I need you to understand, man, to operate at a peak performance, man, you got to get out of yourself, brother. You can't be walking around, man, with this freaking chip on your shoulder. Every time somebody walk by, man, you pissed off. Brother, you got to get out of that entitlement spirit. Sister, you got to get out of that spirit of expectation. You got to get rid of that old demon that says, oh, nobody loves you. Oh, you don't deserve to be happy. You can't be used by God. You think God loves you? All them damn mistakes you made? Remember when you was a kid, you did this and you did that? Oh, so you think that now all of a sudden that you're going to write a book and you think somebody's going to freaking read it? Oh, you going to think you're going to hook up with Brother Will and y'all going to travel across the globe and do seminars and change people's lives for the kingdom? You think you're going to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth through clarinomics? So you really think, do you know that devil going to show up every day? Every day. Y'all got to fight, man. You got to fight every day. Ease, not desperation, is your problem. Right now, your life is too easy. You are so comfortable, and you are so happy being unhappy. You are happy being unhappy. You have settled for less instead of elevated for more. And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about with a relationship with God, man. I ain't talking about going to no freaking building. I'm talking about sitting in your house by yourself and sensing the power of God in your life, feeling him inside your body, knowing that I don't care what everybody else is doing, that you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, I got a private, personal, productive relationship with God. That despite my failures, despite my flaws, despite my insecurities, I know, number one, that my problems are not bigger than my God. So I need you to understand, brothers and sisters, forget about your problems. Focus on your solutions. I guarantee you, the word of God guarantees that if you do these three things, you will operate on a higher level because it ain't you. God will come into your life. He will take over your life. And he will manifest. He will come in as you. And he will manifest himself through you. And all you got to do is get out the way. Let go and let God. How? Number one. Brother, if you could change your inner talking, if you could stop telling yourself about your problems. You mean to tell me you're going to God and you're telling God, my problems is bigger than you. You are going to God and you're talking to him about problems. The God I serve don't work like that. He only recognizes other gods. God only talks to other gods. Like my children that I have right now, when Janiyah and Alec come into my house and they talk to me, I listen to them. If Alec brings his little friend over, Alec has a little friend who comes over here, little kid named Lorenzo. That little kid, you know, not his fault, but that little kid bad as hell. But he's a kid. Now, Lorenzo comes into my house. Lorenzo's not my son. So Lorenzo started talking. Do you think I get up for Lorenzo? Do you think I do? Now, he's cool. I give some water, whatever. But if Lorenzo is having a problem and my son is having a problem, who do you think I'm going to respond to? Am I going to respond if Lorenzo is getting jumped by 10 people? Love Lorenzo. Appreciate him. And if Alec is getting jumped by 10 people, who do you think I'm going to help? So you mean to tell me you're going to God, who is your father, and you're getting jumped by 10 people, and you talking to him about them 10 people, and you don't see the fact that your father wishes to do exceedingly above anything that you can ask or think. And you mean to tell me that your father, who been in heaven, who knows how to give good gifts, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give good gifts to his children? But see, we don't have a relationship with God because we don't know who he is. We think he's some old dude sitting in the sky. Man, you don't need to go to no damn church building. For God, you go to the church building to fellowship and to sharpen your sword with other people. But to meet God, to talk to him, to have a relationship with him, it's not in no damn building. It's inside of you, brother. And the way you talk to God is that small, still voice in your head that says, son and daughter, you are a royal priest. Why are you carrying? Why are you thinking like that? Why are you beating yourself up? Why are you walking around broke, busted? Do you not know that your father owns a cattle on a thousand hills? He knows the hairs, that number on your head. So, brothers or sisters, in conclusion, make sure that your mentality, that small voice in your head. Now, remember, there is two voices. There's one voice from the anti-God that says, you ain't about nothing, dog. This is not going to work. What Brother Will is saying is he's blowing smoke up your butt. Don't listen to him. Then there's another voice that says, I may not like that brother. He gets on my nerves sometimes. Sometimes he says some condescending bullshitness. But you know what? Man, when that brother's on, when he gets out of his flesh, yeah, God used that little short fool. I like what that brother's saying. If you listen to that voice, now don't listen to me, that voice in your head. Because while I'm talking, there's a voice in your head that's talking. And if you're listening to not what I'm saying, if you listen to what that voice in your head is saying, you will find that that small voice in your head is going to override that reality that's in your life. Number one, that voice in your head is going to override that reality in your life. That voice in your head is going to put some images in your brain. That voice plus image overrides reality. Voice, image, override reality. Voice and images override reality. Voices and images, God's voice specifically, God's image specifically overrides your reality. Number one. Then number two, if you maintain a rookie mindset which says, I'm new to the team, God. I'm new to this thing called creating. I'm new to this thing called taking my mentality and overriding my reality. So I need your help. So where are you? Oh, you are. I got you. Because you haven't written your laws on tablets of stone any longer. You've written your laws on the minds and the hearts of your people. So I'm going to go into my heart. What did my heart say? My heart say, hey, calm down, homie. We got this. My heart says the Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me in all truth. My heart says, well, God leads, God provides. My heart said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. My heart said, God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I can ask or think. So I'm good. My heart says, why worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink? So I ain't worried. That's what my heart says. So my heart is going to override my brain. My heart is going to give me that sense of inspiration, which is going to give me a sense of being desperate for what? Not desperate because I'm afraid, desperate because I want to be attached. Because I see what God has done for me and all the things that he's done for me and all the places that he's taken me and all the things that he's done in my life. I've seen, brother, I don't have to go read it in a book. I got personal experience. I've seen what God has done for me. I know where he has brought me from. I've seen all of the greatness that he's done in my life, brother. So I'm inspired. And I'm desperate to stay attached to the vine because it works. I don't need no self-help book. Tony Robbins can't do nothing for me because God is sitting in the seat of my soul. And when that happens in your life, brother, you're going to operate at your peak. You will be a single standing column of waveform energy. You will be a lighthouse. You will be a lamp that's sitting on a hill. You will be a salt that ain't lost its flavor. But that only happens when you allow the thoughts, the talking of God to produce the images of God. That allows the mindset of God that's based upon the heart of God that results in the in spirit or the inspiration that leads to the desperation to stay attached to those thoughts and those words of God. And it's a circle. It's a kirka or a church. The word church means circle. In the original text, it means kirka. A church is not a building. A church is a circle from your heart, from your head, your conscious brain to your subconscious brain to your unconscious brain. Then it goes down 6 inches to your heart. And then it goes down and comes back up to the root chakra, and it gives you that desperation and inspiration, and it goes back up to the crown chakra. And it's a complete circle. That's called your aura or your chi or your prana. When that kirka is complete, step one, step two, step three. So it goes 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's the dance routine. It's like you're salsaing. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you're doing the salsa, brother. Then you're dancing in the spirit. That's how I dance in the spirit. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. people don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.